How did that Agatones first form?
When I was in 11th grade, we had our junior class play coming up. And a classmate of mine, who was also a friend, I guess he knew I'd written a couple of rock and roll songs. So his idea was to write a song about the play, which was called John Loves Mary. And he came up to me with some words he'd written and wondered if I could turn it into a song. Well, to put it mildly, I'd say the words needed a little help. I did finish it up, and I don't remember if this was my idea or the guy that gave me the words, but it would have been nice to publicize the play by playing the song over the PA system, you know, during homeroom in the morning when they gave the announcements. So anyway, we needed to record it. Well, a buddy of mine that I knew from marching band, Larry Venata, played tenor sax, which you needed for an up-tempo rock and roll song back in 1956.
Exactly.
And from joking around, I needed a bass singer because I had some repeat lines in there that I'd written. About the only thing that came out of those words was a line, "You know I love you and I always will." And in my mind, I heard, "You know I love you, I love you, I love you, and I always will, I will." So anyway, I needed a bass singer. And, of course, I needed a guy with a tape recorder, which Larry had. So I invited him over to my house one evening to record the song. Well, when he showed up at the door, he had another guy from school with him, Gene McCarthy, whom I knew to say hello to, but I hadn't asked him. So anyway, the two of them came in. Turned out Gene was a better bass singer than Larry, so he got the bass repeats. Larry sang tenor harmony. I played piano. Gene played clarinet. Larry played alto sax. So they shared the ride in the middle of the song. And the drums were provided by taking some gourds that my parents had lying around.
That's amazing.
And pounding on a tin can. That was the drum.
Exactly.
So we recorded it that night, and a day or two later, it got played over the PA system, and the rest, as they say, is history.
That's cool, Dave. What was the name of the song?
The John Loves Mary Rock.
Wow, that's cool.
And, I mean, I just, you know, pulled it out of the air. You know? I did an Alan Freed in my best 15-year-old voice. I did an Alan Freed-type imitation leading into the song.
Wow.
And anyway, it wound up, we did live. We had to get a drummer into the group, a friend of ours named Bob Bowden. And he didn't sing, but he played with us in the band because we had piano and then wound up with two saxes, a tenor and an alto sometimes, and drums. And then we played some of our recordings. We just did some home recordings of this stuff. Another of our classmates, his father was a record distributor, so we were looking for a way to get discovered. So we thought, gee, if we play it for Mr. Meltzer, maybe he can give us some, you know, can get us some, you know, interviews with record companies, because that was our goal, to make a record. And the only thing I remember Mr. Meltzer, Sam Meltzer, saying after he heard our stuff was, "Hey, you guys could use a high voice in the group." So a couple of months later, there was a dance at a neighboring town that Larry went to. And he met this young chick there by the name of Lynn Nixon. And I guess Larry, trying to prove he was a big man, told her about the rock and roll group he sang with. And Lynn says to him, "Oh, I sing too." So the next thing we know, Larry asks Gene and me if it's okay if he brought Lynn over to see how she sounds with the group, which he did. And Lynn came in as a background singer until Larry wrote the song "You" for her to sing, and that's how we got together.
That's cool, Dave. And the record label you were signed to was Fargo Records, right?
Yeah, which didn't exist originally.
Really?
Really, yeah. No, we were discovered about a year later at a talent show, which we lost.
That's okay.
And afterwards, we had entered a couple of talent shows, and found out we didn't win anything. We were sitting around the backstage, otherwise known as the high school cafeteria, just trying, okay, what's coming up where we can get some exposure? And about that time, somebody got my attention and said, there's a gentleman over at the door beckoning to you. So I walk over to him and I said, yes. And the man says, how'd you like to make a record?
That must be an incredible question to ask.
Ah, it's what we've been dreaming of. Anyway, that was Lou Fargo. And shortly thereafter, he signed us to a management contract. He took us into a recording studio in New York and had us record some demonstration records, or demos, or dubs, as he called them. And he told us, he said, I will try to shop these around to record companies, and if I can't cut a deal, he says, I'll start my own record company. I'll spell my name backwards or something.
That's cool.
Well, he did wind up starting his own record company, except he spelled his name forwards, as in Fargo Records.
That's cool. And actually, I don't know if you're aware, but I actually have 18 songs by the Aquatones on my playlist.
Really?
I do.
Are the original group or any of the new stuff?
No, I don't have the new stuff, actually. I like the new stuff, but I have a few of them I play. I play You, She's the One for Me, Say You'll Never Be Mine.
Oh, me when I was 17. There you go. But I could still sing tenor.
A few others are So Fine, One First Kiss, The Drive-In,
yeah.
My One Desire, My Treasure, Every Time, There's a Long, Long Tale, Wanted,
yeah.
Crazy For You, My Darling, yeah. For You, For
Wait a
You.
Minute, where did you get these?
I go to a lot of old record stores and stuff.
Did you get them on 45s?
I did, and then I burned them on CD.
Beautiful, because if you got them on 45s, then you have the right version.
Yes, I do.
And there's a long story on that, too. Are we on the air?
No, we're being taped.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is the inner. Okay, fine.
Yeah, I'm going to air this probably tonight, actually, but I tape them, then I record, then I air them.
Good, okay. In other words, you can cut out any extraneous.
Oh, yes, I will edit it.
Yeah, because when you started with the question of how did the Aquatones get back together, how did they get together? That certainly sounded like it was part of an interview. Okay, continue with your question.
That's fine. What was your biggest record called?
Biggest record?
Yes.
Without a doubt, You.
I would say that too.
Oh, yeah.
And did you know that also that song was also covered by Gail Storm?
Yes.
What were the other... Oh, you've said that. Sorry, I apologize. And how did Lynn become the lead singer?
Because at the time our first record was released, She's the One for Me was on one side and You was on the other, as of course you know if you have the record, right, Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. Take a little closer look, and She's the One for Me is shown as the A side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and You is the B side, okay. Not the first time in history that the public thought differently. But what happened was that Lou Fargo had told us this. He says he was pushing the up-tempo side in New York and the ballad side in Philadelphia. And he told us, if either side takes off, I'll just have everybody, flip it over and play that side. Well, the record broke, as they say, in Philadelphia. Okay?
Yeah.
So that's how that happened.
That's incredible.
And when we have managed to get on the charts, we got up to, I've always said that we were number one in Boston. Now, I don't have any charts to prove that, but we were on a TV show, and it was either Cleveland or Boston. I think we did both cities, bandstand-type shows. And after we had lip-synced our song, the DJ calls one of the little girls in his audience to come up, and the DJ says, tell the Aquatones where their record is on our show. And the girl said, it's number one. So anyway, I don't know that that's a definitive answer as to how we did in Boston, but hey, it sounds good anyway. No, I know for a fact we made it up to number seven in New York.
Yeah, that's excellent.
But at any rate, after that, as it was starting down the charts, it's obvious we needed to come out with a follow-up. Well, guess what? At the time our first record was released, You was the only song that Moon sang lead on. Oops. So we had to scurry around and get a couple of songs for her to sing.
Yes.
Say You'll Be Mine was a song that we had sung before, and we had done it as a duet with Larry and Gene, Lynn singing background, me singing bass. But said to Lynn, hey, why don't you try this? She tried it. Sounded good. Okay, that's one. And then somewhere in the spring of 58, Larry and I sat down at the piano in my parents' house, and together we wrote So Fine.
That's cool.
Which, you and I met at the Hop Hop Show, right?
Yeah, I did. Yep.
Yeah, so you know the story on that. Even though So Fine was not a hit, as a matter of fact, I think she's the one, Say You'll Be Mine. Got more airplay. More people seem to know that one.
Exactly.
So Fine. But even though that wasn't a hit, at least I can say we were not influenced by all the later hits that had the words So Fine in them, you know?
Oh, yeah, because
we weren't copying the Fiestas, the Falcons, nor the Chiffons.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, so many titles came out with So Fine that you mentioned it. The ones you said, it's incredible how the writers how some sort of trend can carry on to other songs.
Yeah.
I'll tell you.
Well, So Fine was a term I guess we teenagers used. Hey, that is so fine. You know?
That's cool. So that's where those songs came to be, huh?
Yeah.
That's cool. And what a show, that Hot Pog show. That was amazing. I love
that
show.
Wasn't that amazing over 2 days? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yes. It was incredible.
You hadn't been to that one before?
No, actually, I traveled from Boston to go see that show, actually.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, that's not just a half-hour drive or anything like that.
It was actually 4 hours from Boston.
Yeah, gosh.
But, hey, I mean, I got to...
It was farther from Louisville, Kevin.
Yes, exactly. You're in Kentucky?
Yeah.
That's cool. And before we wrap things up here, were you on any other record labels besides Fargo?
No. Well, not back in the day, no. Everything we made, all, what was it, 7 singles and then an LP were on the Fargo label.
That's cool.
And then in 1980 or thereabouts, Don Folletti of Relic Records, which is now out of business, I believe, put out an LP and then eventually a CD on the Relic label. Okay.
I actually have that in my collection, the Relic one.
The LP?
Yeah, the Relic one.
Cool.
The your one on Fargo would probably sell for at least $300 or $400 because
I've heard of them $500 and up. Oh, back in '64 when Lou Fargo released that LP, I was over at his house and he offered me a copy, or he gave me a copy, and I said, "Could I have one for my mother and maybe for my aunt out in San Diego?" Who happened to be there when Lou Fargo first came over to my house and signed us to the management contract. And then she started the San Diego Aquatones fan club and all that kind of good stuff. So I asked him, do you have a couple more I could give to my aunt, my mother? And he said, sure. So he gave me 3 copies, and I, dutifully distributed them to my parents and my aunt. Well, both ladies are deceased. I just happened to be the residual beneficiary of their estates in both cases. So I now own 3 copies of that album.
That's amazing.
But guess what? I ain't going to sell them on eBay because I have daughters.
That's so cool. Yeah, you can make some money. Actually, to tell you the truth, the ones that make them so valuable is the ones that didn't sell many copies,
Yeah.
Because there's less of them around.
Oh, that was very true for that album. But at any rate, yeah, we've been on Deborah Records in this century, starting in 2001.
Really?
But, hey, Kevin, since you're recording and not doing it live.
Yes.
Give me your phone number again. It's your regular phone.
My regular phone?
Yeah.
It's 508.
508, yeah.
904.
I probably wrote it down. I couldn't find it this morning.
That's okay.
904, now what?
3541.
Okay, would you have any interest in getting some of the stuff we've recorded this century.
Yes, I would love. My show is basically the oldie show of the future on today's radio market. That's how I market it. I'm 24 years old.
Yeah, you said you were young, but of course, at my age, that could have meant 50. You know?
Yes, exactly. I don't want to be 50, my friend. Yeah. Well, anyways, any new recordings you make, I would gladly play them for you.
Okay. Thank you for calling. let's see. Anything? I went through how it was Fargo that Lou Fargo wanted only a vocal group. He didn't want the instruments. So that's when we lost our drummer, because he didn't sing. So I've always thought of him as the Pete Best of the Aquatones, referring to the Beatles drummer who was replaced by Ringo Starr
before they started
having hits. But, and I've told you how we started and how Lynn got into the group.
One thing I really should mention is where are the Aquatones today? Do you guys still have a lot of the original members? Or?
Three out of the four of us are still alive and more or less well. Lynn passed in 2001, but Larry lives in New England, Gene lives in Georgia, I live in Kentucky. So we don't see each other that often, but we're still in touch.
That's excellent.
As a matter of fact, Kevin, I got married in 2007, and after the wedding, the current tenor in the new version of the Aquatones, we were looking around for a place to have a reception, and he said, "Want you to come out to my house, we'll have a deck party. Why spend the money on a hall, you know?"
Exactly.
So that's what we did. And Larry and Gene were both there, as were Colette, Rich, and Paul from the current group, as was my daughter, Stacy, who recorded on a self-produced cassette album with us in 1991. And we all sang together, and some Larry had his camcorder with him, and some of those videos are posted on YouTube. And by the way, our website, watch this, is www.aquatones.us, not .com or .net or .gov or .edu or any of that stuff.
Really? That's interesting.
.us. Yeah, I'd never heard of it either.
Yeah. Yeah. Dave, I love hearing these old stories. I truly love them, but unfortunately...
Okay, I'll let you go.
All righty.
Kevin, thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Take care.
You too. Bye.
Bye.